you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you, we're glad you're here.
This is a reading from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. That was James 1, verses 19 and 20.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, June 26, 2026. Now, listening friends, I've said this a number of times, especially on Friday, but are you feeling prayed up? Are you feeling encouraged? Well, you should be, because about 15 of us in this room, we've spent some time praying for this program, that God would use it to further his kingdom purposes in you. Maybe you walk faithfully with him. Well, we want you to be encouraged. Maybe you haven't entertained the idea yet that he loves you and cares for you. Well, his heart is that you would understand truth, that he loves you, he cares for you. He provided a way, a relationship through his son, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. As we recognize him as Lord and Savior, we begin a new life in him and we live differently. We live in the knowledge that he loves us, that he cares for us, and he's demonstrated that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So you can't earn your way into heaven. It's not by being good or attending church or doing the right things or being better than that neighbor that you don't like. It's because of what he did on our behalf. Well, this book of James, it's been written on our behalf to teach us about God, about practical points of application. It's kind of like the New Testament version of the Proverbs. There's so many good nuggets. And the verse that was read to you was read by a judge. He's going to be on Testimony Tuesday this next week, Lord willing, if I can pull that off. It's Chris, and we'll save more about his story for Tuesday. But he read, "My dear brothers, take note of this, everyone." That means you. That means me. Everyone should be what? Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Wow, points of application for us all in that passage. And so joining us again today, we were fortunate, or better yet, blessed the last 2 weeks to have Pastor Rick Mulkins and the First Lady Deanne joining us. Well, they're back again. I think they'll be back again next Friday, but Pastor Mark Johnson of Calvary Church is being called to do other things, and he'll be back in maybe a few weeks, but Pastor Rick Mulkins is joining us. And what do you think about this verse 19, my dear brothers, take note of this. Do you think James wants us to learn something here?
I do. And before I begin, I want to thank you for allowing Deanna and I to come, and thank all of you for sitting here, and we're having this koinonia one with another. And I look at that passage of scripture, and yeah, I mean, it packs a punch. I mean, he talks about take note. We see that in that verse right there. And in other words, be conscientious of what's going on. You know, make sure that our heart is right, applicable things like this. And he goes on to say that we need to be quick to listen. And that's really kind of a twofold thing, because especially if God is speaking, we need to really be conscientious of what's going on, be a good listener, and not only with God, but even with friends and family. So many times we have conversations and we're not always good listeners because we live in a world that don't have time to do those kind of things. But when I read that text, it just lets us know that we need to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and don't become angry. The Bible even says, I think it's in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 26, it says, in your anger, do not sin. So there is a righteous indignation, but I think James is challenging all of us. This is what we need to do. Don't be so quick on what you say, and listen up a little bit more. And if God is correcting you, don't get angry about all that. So again, I think as we read the text, I think it shows us exactly how we need to live.
Yeah, and this, my dear brothers and listening friends, our sisters that are tuned in today, this is equally important for you. It's not just towards men, my dear brothers. It's including all of us. It's an exhortation. It's something that James is pointing out. My dear listener is what we're going to say to you as you tune in today. And hopefully as you read through this book, as has been mentioned, it's five chapters. So spend 5 days during the week reading it, or read it five times during the weekend. Amen. What were you going to say, Deanne?
You know what? I was going to say this a long time ago, because I mean, you know, I had to be discipled too, and still I'm discipled. And the Lord is always showing me things. But way back when we were doing a discipleship class, Pastor Rick and I, we were teaching new disciples, of course. And one of the problems that I had was, is I was too quick to speak. Okay? So I would
doghouse, doghouse.
I just got to think that was a prayer move.
I was so quick to speak and I was slow to listen, you know, and I needed to get my two cents in and try to counsel in that way. And so when you find that you're outside of the Word of God, because that's what I was. I mean, I read this verse. It wasn't probably too long after I had been doing that for a while. I read this verse and I recognized, wait a minute, I've got to do something here. Well, how in the world am I going to do that? Well, this is how I learned to do it. This is my story, anyway, is whenever we were going to counsel somebody, I stayed out of it. I hid in the room and I kept my mouth shut and stayed away from it. And the reason I did is because I was not seasoned enough to be able to speak and speak with grace and mercy and all of the fruits of the Spirit. So I would stay up and I would not get involved in any kind of conflict. And so it took a while. It took a while. Amen. Just like anything else, you know, it's new to you. You're frustrated, so you're angry, so you're going to just jump in, you know. Here it was telling me something. It was quickened to my heart that I was doing wrong. So I followed the Holy Spirit and I said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I am not going to. I really do think it was close to a year before I finally felt like, wait a minute, I can do this. I can do this. And so I surrendered my heart to the Holy Spirit and asked the Lord to help me to be a quick listener, to lean in, to hear what the other person was saying. We always got what we have on our minds, you know what I'm saying, what we want to talk about, but it's not about that. You'll have your time for talking, but when you're talking to people and they're wanting to tell something to you, and you need to be quick to listen and slow to speak and give them that opportunity to be able to tell their story.
Yeah, that's kind of a hard one because our brains, some of us, and this is what I love about you, Deanne, because you're like me in that, where our brains are always thinking, and so we got to get it out before we forget what we want to say. Or it's like those stand-up comedians. Their minds are so quick to come up with a joke, and so they're always thinking. And so I have the same struggle. And it only took you a year. Wow, I haven't even got there yet.
Yeah.
But I came up with a new thing. I don't know if I'm going to start a campaign, but it's called Pray More, Talk Less.
Oh, there you go.
And
I've been thinking
about, before I talk, have I prayed it up, prayed it through, pray more. And I like that all four of these words are four letters, but pray more, talk less.
Yes.
And right now I'm just at the verge where I just think it in my mind. I'm not necessarily always praying more and talking less, but I'm thinking before I think and pray more, talk less, pray more, talk less. Anyways.
This whole conversation reminds me of Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Life. First sentence, it's not about me. And that's our human nature, is to think about us and get out what we know is right.
You know, I was thinking when we were reading this, I'm like, this is the description of me before God changed me. People say, there's no proof God exists. Yes, there most definitely is proof God exists. When you stop doing this, it's proof that the Spirit is at work.
Yes, that's good.
You know, that's what I'm saying. I mean, we live in a society that they're not listeners. I just want you to think about it, even on the TikTok and all this stuff. What do you call those, reels?
Reels.
Our attention span is so short. We're just going through all these reels, and we don't realize that that is really causing a problem. Because now we're, okay, when I get with you, I want to go get to the point, you know, get to the point. But that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to listen.
And nobody shared this yet, how we have the two ears and the one mouth.
Yeah,
we should be listening twice as much.
Well, and I think here, I think that's what Jane, he's challenging us to be better listeners and not be so quick to our speech. And so I'm like Deanne. I mean, I've dealt with this too. I've wrestled with this. But as you were saying, Liz, we live in a world that is just seems like it's all about us. But it's not about us. It's about God. And that's why I think James is challenging each and every one of us. Listen, if you're going to be a real Christian, you're going to be a doer of the word, you need to start here. Make sure you're listening and listening very well. It's very important.
and that slow to speak, because some of us, we can be impulsive, we jump in. And with me, after I say something, I think about it and say, did I really mean to say that? And I wish I would have said it differently. And so,
I'll end up regretting what I've done, you know? Yep. So, but that's just a way, again, that the Lord just keeps teaching us and showing us.
Yeah.
I think, going to call up men here, reason being is we're problem solvers. And so when we're confronted with a problem, I know the answer. Here, just listen to me now. I'll fix it for you.
Yeah.
And that's not the best way usually to operate.
Yeah. That's
right. Maybe it's like I play tennis, right? And a lot of times if you hit the ball across the net, you have to wait for the response in order to react. Sometimes you could anticipate. But if you anticipate all the time, you would go wrong and you would lose the game. So you have to wait for the response from the person, whatever is coming across the net, and take your time so you can respond appropriately. And I think that's the way we should think about sharing and listening and doing all that, so that there is a proper response to what is given to you, instead of trying to just hit the ball all the time. Yeah. You got to wait for the person to respond.
Amen. That's right.
What this reminds me of learning, we not only listen with our ears, but we have to learn, and I think maybe this is where the scripture's leading, to listen with our hearts.
Mm. Yes.
That's when we're really hearing what Deanne is sharing with me. And you're right, we want to jump right in and give our experience with that same kind of problem. Mm-hmm. I don't know about any of the rest of you, but I fight with that.
I think we all do.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
But when I heard that phrase, listening with my heart, that speaks a whole new world of listening and caring for the person talking.
And I wonder, Pastor Rick, and maybe you can share a little on this, listening isn't just hearing the words. It could be seeing the expression on their face. It can be reading the nonverbals, because most communication, isn't it nonverbal and not necessarily what they're saying? Because what are they really saying? Like you said, you have to have a heart attentive to really what's coming out of them.
Yeah, there's a lot of times we hear things going on, but we're really not listening to what's going on. And I think that's why the Apostle Paul says we're a letter being read by all men. People are reading us, and rather be body language or whatever it may be, but we need to be a great example. And again, I think just a part of that, just the ABCs of that, is to be that good listener. As Deanne was sharing with her testimony, I mean, I've dealt with it too. I mean, with us pastoring a church, people come in, and our attention span, I think, statistically, is like 45 seconds. So it's very short. So when people come in and they're speaking to me, you're thinking to yourself, okay, come on, get through with it. But that's not really good. Like I said, bottom line, that's why James is saying, listen, this is what you need to do. Start as being a good listener.
Now, here's this other little quick little story here, if it's right in.
Okay. I'm sure it does.
And these are the things that God teaches us, okay? Mm-hmm. I was at church one day, and I was going through a lot of things in my life. And a lady came up to me in church, and this is what she said. I'm having such a hard time finding a paint color for my wall. And I thought in my head, now this is the truth, isn't there a lot more important things to think about than, you know what I'm saying, you can't find a paint color, you know? Now, that was my attitude.
Yeah, that was rocking the world. I remember that.
That was my
she
attitude.
Was so upset.
And to be honest with you, it was the wrong attitude. Mm. And so what happened was, all of a sudden, and my husband, he was a painter by trade.
Yeah.
Okay? So all of a sudden, we buy this property, and I need a paint color. I had him buying these quarts of paint. I'm not
so
kidding you. I am not kidding
we
you.
We almost went
10,
broken buying samples.
12, 15 quarts of paint, and I couldn't find it. But then the Holy Spirit reminded me, it wasn't important, was it?
Yeah.
And I realized that, and I repented of that right away. And then my husband, that's the truth, called me on the telephone, and he said, Deanne, I think I have your paint color.
Yeah.
From that moment on, I want you to know that I try to listen, because if it's important to you, it's important to God.
Yes.
And so I need to realize that, and it's even the smallest little thing.
So, Pastor Rick, we are talking a lot with all of our room of friends here about the listening and the speaking. But why does he include and slow to become angry? Are we tending to not operate in those fruits
of
the Spirit?
Well, we have that tendency. And here's the thing, too. If we put the scripture in context, I mean, there's times God's correcting us and we don't like it. Yeah. And sometimes it's very hard. And I remember a particular story in our lives where God was correcting us and we copped an attitude with it. And again, that's why James is saying, don't do that. Be slow in anger. And that's why I mentioned a while ago in Ephesians 4:26, we do get angry. We do get upset. But don't sin in the midst of that. Mm-hmm. And so when God is correcting us, that's our opportunity to make a change. And that's when we're able to do that. But again, don't get angry. Don't get angry.
And I love this part about the anger. This is verse 20. So it looks like we might get through two verses
today.
Okay,
there we go. We might.
For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. So it kind of says, what does God desire? A righteous life, a life that's without anger, because he's the judge. He's the ultimate one. But this anger one, I think it's because, and this has been mentioned by Liz and Deanne and others, I think because we're so quick in this ever fast-paced living environment, this world, that we're not patient. And that's one of the fruits of the Spirit. And I'm very impatient. Mm-hmm. And what does impatient lead to? Anger or being upset. Mm-hmm. And so that's a huge area I'm working on, because those fruits of the Spirit, whenever we act outside of the fruit, we're operating in the flesh.
We are. Mm-hmm.
We're operating in our own flesh, not being led by the Spirit. And Jesus perfectly modeled all those fruits, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. In every act, anything he did, he was perfect in that. And whenever I have a thought or something, I'm like, that's not part of the fruit of the Spirit. That's the flesh. And so
that's good, because this is kind of like talking to our nature. Our nature, our fallen nature, is to, I'm in a hurry, I'm going to get my piece said, and I'm on a hair trigger. I'm ready to get angry at the drop of a hat. Mm-hmm. And this is the opposite. Slow down.
Amen.
Stop. Think. I'm always telling my kids, are you waiting to talk or are you actually listening?
That's good.
That's good. That is good.
Good question.
Well, Rick, we still have 5 or 6 minutes, but let's camp out on this. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Mm-hmm. What is the righteous life that God desires for us?
That's a good point. And before we get to that, let me mention real quick. In the book of Colossians in the 3rd chapter, I just went to it to make sure it said that, and I was correct. It talks about things to take off. One of the things that we are to take off is the anger. And again, if we're going to live a life of anger, I mean, that's your choice. But God doesn't want us to live that way. He wants us to be blameless before him. We look at this story. We look at the story of Noah. We look at the story of even Joseph, the stepfather of Jesus. We're looking at stories, some of these men in Scripture. They weren't perfect men, but they were just men. They were righteous men. And if we want to live a life before God and live it righteously, we must be in his word. We must be studying his word, doing his word, doing all these things. And when correction does come at our door, we need to heed to that. Because in order for you and I to get to where we're supposed to be, there's got to be a change in our life. And to live that righteous life, that place where God wants us to be, there has to be a change in our own heart. Mm. And again, as Deanne alluded to earlier, that change comes by the power of the Holy Spirit, not in mankind, not in me.
In James 1:19-20, in the New Good News translation, it says, human anger does not achieve God's righteous purpose. So to me, that's a little clearer. So 21, so get rid of every filthy habit and all wicked conduct. Submit to God and accept the word that he plants in your hearts, which is able to save you.
Amen. That's good.
Yeah.
Very good.
I was once I'd found a guy guilty of murder, and we were doing a sentencing hearing. And I found out that he'd been previously convicted of murder. He was a man in his 50s, went to prison, did his sentence, and then committed murder again. And so he could only be sentenced to natural life. So there wasn't a dispute what was going to happen there. I give him his what's called right to allocution, which means, is there anything you wish to tell me before I sentence you? He looked me right in the eye and said, Judge, I just want you to know I'm a good person. And I tell you, the anger rose in me right now. I mean, I went from 0 to 100. I was going to jump to my feet. I do that periodically. I'm an excitable boy. And God has probably spoken to me in crystal clear ways 10 times maybe in my life. I mean, where I know exactly what he said, and I know it was him. This was one of those times. where he said, stop. You're no different than him. Your sin is just different.
Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that got my attention.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And that's why, that's to me, that mm-hmm. Mark, when you brought up the first 20, is like, oh, I can give you a story for that one. Mm-hmm. And it was
absolutely.
Just,
yeah.
You know, I had every human right to be angry with him. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't please God. And it's also, now I'm making myself morally superior to him.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so now I can hold this over him. And now I've created now separation between us. Yeah. You see, that's what anger does. Mm-hmm. Anger separates us.
Definitely.
Think about, what's the second sin? Murder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
And eternally separated. And so, therefore, that's why it doesn't please God.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Oh, listening friend, there's a lot in these two verses. Hopefully, you'll take it to heart. Read it a couple different times. Pray it up. Seek God on what he would reveal to you. And when you see that everyone should be quick to listen, don't say, yeah, everyone should be. It's speaking to you.
Yeah.
It's speaking
all
to me.
Us, all of us.
These are words for all of us. That's the beautiful thing about God's word, especially when you pray and ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you and reveal truth. He'll do that. We talked about that recently this week with a couple different speakers, the importance of just seeking after God, having him disclose the truth from the scriptures. And it'll always lead you toward a relationship with Jesus, and it'll always also demonstrate or help you understand God's character. He is a loving Father God that cares for you. He created you. He designed you. You have special gifts, talents, and abilities. He wants to work in and through you. And part of that is to be his ambassador and to be a faithful follower of Jesus.
Amen.
So hopefully you'll read this book today, this book of James, and think about it and join us again next week. We'll cover a few more verses. Pastor Rick Mulkins and the First Lady Deanne will be joining us again along with this room of friends. And we'll be praying you up, so have a great weekend. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to listen to it again or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org, and you can listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Rick Mulkins, and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.
Amen.
Amen.
You've done this before.